Diane Ladd has made her mark in the entertainment world as a film, TV, and stage actress, film director, producer, and author. She has appeared in over 120 roles. Diane was born in Meridian, Mississippi. She was married to actor and one-time co-star Bruce Dern from 1960 to 69. And she and her daughter from that marriage, Laura Dern, have co-starred several times. In addition to Diane's Academy Award nomination for Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore, she was also nominated, again in the Best Actress in a Supporting Role category, for both Wild at Heart and Rambling Rose. In both of these films, she starred alongside daughter Laura Dern, who also received a nomination for Best Actress for Rambling Rose. The dual mother-daughter nominations for Rambling Rose marked the first time in Academy Award history that such an event had occurred. They were also nominated for dual Golden Globe Awards in the same year. The pair appeared together in David Lynch's Inland Empire, and most recently they co-starred in the HBO series Enlightened from 2011 to 13. But today we'll start the conversation with Diane about her new book, A Bad Afternoon for a Piece of Cake. Welcome, Diane. It's such a pleasure to have you with us on the Book Report.
Thank you. It's my privilege and pleasure to be here with you today.
Diane, I have a philosophical question for you.
Uh-oh.
Is there really any way there could be a bad afternoon for a piece of cake?
I'm afraid there is. And I'm sharing it with you. It wasn't my bad afternoon. It was a young, handsome man, businessman, who ran into some trouble. So actually, most of my stories are based on truth. One or two of them are totally contrived from my soul or my life, just out of the ether. But a lot of these are either a story that someone told me once or something I experienced, and they stay in my soul, and then I flushed it out into a story. But this one was based on truth.
There are 10 stories in the book, and some of them are intertwined. Isn't that right?
Yes. They're all people from Mississippi originally. That's my river running through all of their souls. And the shortest one is 8 pages, quick, and the longest one is only 22 pages. And they're saying now that short stories can help heal your energy, like a glass of wine or getting 50 miles from out of town. You refresh. You can step back and refresh. Like if you're waiting for an interview and instead of wasting your time, read a short story and you'll come back more objective, calmer, more detached, disciplined, and divinity all inside.
One of your characters, Preston Williams, from the opening story, he reappears. He sells veterinarian supplies. Was that an homage to your father, who was a veterinarian?
Absolutely. My father only went to the 6th grade in school, actually. And he was a genius, and he was one of the top veterinarians in the country. He could stand with 4 or 5 other veterinarians. He could look at a dog or a chicken and tell you what was wrong with it. He knew. He was a great man, and he loved people. He was a great inspiration in my life. I was very lucky to have had him for a father. I traveled with him when I was young throughout the South, 5 states sometimes. He didn't always let me go with him because we were middle class. And I would take stuff because I see people on the road with him who not only do not have a television, they don't have a radio. I saw kids who didn't have shoes to put on their feet. And one time I saw Indians cooking grass because they had nothing to eat. And I knew there was something terribly wrong in my great country. And I promised God if he would help me be a success, I would help his people. So I've tried to keep that promise. And part of that is writing. I feel like I'm a teacher, or if I'm acting, then the stage or the film is my blackboard. Or if I'm writing, it's the paper that's my blackboard. And my job in either field is to show you a part of yourself. And as I said before to you, I have an attic full of writing since I was 17. And for a long time, people just wouldn't read it. Even when I sold a screenplay to a studio, which I have, and they said, oh, don't read her script. We'll get another writer. She's just an actress.
Can you tell us a little what that will be about?
Interrupted Destiny has a political background. It is about my trying to get the film about Martha Mitchell made. And I had been invited to come to the sit in the grandstand. I've been invited by President Ford, and my seat was to be next to the great Helen Thomas. And I wanted to meet this first lady of reporters. But that morning at 4:45 exactly, I never got to meet Helen that day. I never got there to that parade. It was during that parade that someone came up and told Helen Thomas that Martha Mitchell, the first, the wife of John Mitchell, Attorney General in the Nixon administration, had died. While that was happening, I had a paranormal experience that changed my whole life. And this book is about the paranormal experience. It has to do with Martha Mitchell. The paranormal experience continued onto the stage while I was performing that night. And Helen Thomas knows about it. Maury Povich, who had his own talk show, knows about it. I didn't meet Helen until a year and a half later, and she became one of my lifelong best friends. I bought a book in which part there's a chapter there on Martha. I just had the privilege of speaking at her memorial. I was one of nine people they invited to come to Washington and speak about her. And that was a great honor for me because I loved her very much. So the book is about politics. It's about Martha. She had something to tell you. If we had listened to her, the people, the bankers, or the other people who stole our money in those awful Wall Street conanicans would never have gotten away with it. And right now, politics, medicine, and show business, the systems are broken, and they need fixing. And I hope that this book, if we listen to her now, maybe it is a day late and a dollar short, but it may help us start to mend those systems. It's just a little pebble of sand on this beach, but it's an important pebble of sand. And I write about Martha. She communicated with me from the other side of the veil and how she led my life. She got into my life. So her destiny was interrupted. My destiny was interrupted, and your destiny was interrupted. So it's called Interrupted Destiny.
I want to hear from you. What is it about the South that breeds such a distinctive crop of writers?
That's an interesting question. You know, they say that my state, Mississippi, which is certainly not on the list of the best educated by any means, has produced the greatest number of great writers, from Flannery O'Connor to my cousin Tennessee Williams to just Flannery O'Connor, Eudora Welty.
I want to ask you, you've co-starred with your daughter in several projects. How is she about taking direction from her mom?
She's actually great about taking direction from me, but I never directed her yet.
Right.
She directed me. She filmed a short story thing that she directed, and I was the first actor she directed. And when I said, well, Laura, I don't really do it that way. Do you think I'm trying to tell you what to do? She said she was wonderful. She's a wonderful talent, and she's a great human being. I'm very privileged that this soul chose me for a mother because she's the light of my life. I didn't answer your complete question before. Why does it produce the greatest number of writers? I think one of the reasons is because they also said some of the greatest actors, Kim Stanley and all, have come from the South. I think that up north, you are in an apartment and you're right next to somebody and you go, hello. Sometimes you don't even talk to the people down the street or down at the end of your hall. In the South, you're spread out more. And you reach for people like, here comes somebody down the road. They're coming down the road now. Like, thank God there's a human being. But in the North, there's lots of human beings, so you kind of pull away. In the South, you're reaching out. So I think the desire to communicate might be a stronger inspiration. And I think that could be the answer. You know, it's like only children. I was an only child, and they think, oh, well, only children are very selfish. No, it's quite the contrary. If you have sisters and brothers, you fight. You say, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. If you're alone, you got nobody to say, it's mine. So you say, hey, Elaine, you want to come play? Here, you want this? Hey, you want that? You can have it. Come on over. You want that? You're tired of it. You've played with it all. You're bored to death. You want the person to play with you. So you want to communicate. I think I may be wrong, but that's the only answer I've got for you.
Well, any final thoughts about your book?
Yeah, I hope everybody buys it so I can write another one. And I wish somebody would make it a bestseller. I wish the New York critics would read my book and stop saying, oh, no, she's just an actor. Would you, somebody, for God's sakes, yell at them and give me a fair chance just because God gave me one talent? What, if I can cook steak, I shouldn't make you spaghetti, too, if I can? So somebody out there, if you love my book, please tell the New York Times. We love her book. Why aren't you reviewing her book? Somebody out there, write a letter for me, please. You do, and I'll say a prayer for you, okay?
I loved your book.
Oh, Elaine loved my book, A Bad Afternoon for a Piece of Cake.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks. Thanks so much, Diane.